There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, which is right here at the top. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us the Isser of entering into a house of Avodah Zarah. And here it's in the middle of the page. It's really in the middle of a good discussion, but we'll just go through the relevant line, which is, has a little bracket on it in the Gemara. The relevant line says, Vavarti al Kumasha Kosuv, whoever was talking said, I transgressed on that which it says, Bar Torah, Harchek me'alea, stay far away from it. Harchek me'alea darkecha, make your paths far away from it. Zuminus. This is apikorsus, rather denial of God. Now, that's the only line we have in the Gemara. But there's a Tosfos here. The Tosfos here, where I have the bracket, says, Harchek me'alea darkecha zuminus. V'hodam rinon beperkokis. I have a question, says Tosfos. In Masech the Shabbos, it says, the Kam Amoroi, several Amoroi, in other words, several of the great rabbis of the Gemara, Azad of Avidon, they used to go to the house of Avidon, which seems from the Gemara there on Shabbos to have been a house which was designated for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. Says more, no. Says Rashi, which says Tosfos rather, no. Zeu lisvakechima. You have the wrong hand out there? That was not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. That was a house which was not designated for the purpose of Avodah Zarah per se, but rather it was a house of debates. It was like a public forum. Everybody used to go to the Bay Avidon in order to argue the case back and forth about various different religions and various different philosophies. But Umiskapshim Sham, and there used to come together Chachmei Ovdei Kochavim, the wise men of the Goyim, Venosim and Nosim in their name, and they used to discuss back and forth in their dinim and their rules. Umantalo Hava Ozil, and those who went didn't go, Hainum Ira, didn't prevent themselves from going because it was a house of Avodah Zarah, but rather they were afraid Shlo Yargum, that if they got into too heated a debate, then that would be the end of them. So therefore the reason why they didn't go was not because it was a house of Avodah Zarah, but rather because it was a house in which there was a danger. You get too involved in the debate, they'll kill you. So therefore, Tosfos says that our Gemara stands, and our Gemara teaches us that one is not permitted to enter a house which is designated for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, any denial of our religion which is categorized as minus. Okay? That's the first point. Now we have a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam here is not in the Halachos, but in the Perush HaMishnayos. Perush HaMishnayos is, of course, the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah, and here it appears in Masechta Avodah Zarah, and here again I have a bracket on it on the bottom left hand of the page. And here we have an Isser, which is to go into a city of Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam defines that. He says, Amru, Ma'u Leilech L'sham, is one allowed to go to a city in which there's Avodah Zarah? She Yossi Mosa Derech Leilech Misham, to go and make that a pathway, a highway, to go from there, Luzul Asa, to another city. Whatever that means, here comes the punchline. One is barred from entering a city in which there is Avodah Zarah. The Koshkein La Durba, and it goes without saying that one is not permitted to live in it. The Koshkein Liskorba, and it goes without saying that one is not allowed to do business in a city which has Avodah Zarah. The Chanuyos Maforos, whatever that is, Chanuyos Ir Shem Yapin Osam, Ve'ezim Min Mimine Anoi. And it's the stores in the city which are decorated with all sorts of decoration. It's all for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. In other words, says the Rambam, in a city which is Avodah Zarah, in a city which you have a house which is designated for Avodah Zarah, all the stores in the city are all adorned with Avodah Zarah decorations. And therefore it's forbidden to enter that entire city. Entire city is forbidden. Says the Rambam, therefore, everything within that city is also to derive benefit from, because it's all focused on Avodah Zarah. And therefore, you should know, shekol ir shel uma, any city of a nation, sheyelo and base tifla, in which there is a base tifla, shehu base avodas kochavim, which is a house of avodas kochavim, below suffix, it's without doubt, osa ir that city Usur Lavor Babakavana, not only not allowed to live there, you're not allowed to pass through that city intentionally. In other words, if you had to get to your home and you had to go through Chicago, which has a great many Batei Avodah Zarah, you would have to go around Chicago and come from, you know, whatever, from the north, from some other way. Hi, it's impossible. Even if you come through Skokie, even if you come through Evanston, you're still going to come through Avodah Zarah. So says the Rambam, listen, I'm pragmatic too. Comes along the Rambam and says, because you can't live in such a city. But unfortunately, we, Tachas Yedeim, are under the hand of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah Bavonah Seinu as a result of our sins. And we're living in their lands, Anusim, coerced. In other words, we have no way of escaping. Even if you go to Yerushalayim, you'll find plenty of churches there too, right? And it became fulfilled in us that which we say, that we worship here gods who are made out of stone and out of stick. It's not that we literally worship them, but that we cannot avoid them. And here comes a very important line in the Rambam. If this is halacha about a city, how much more so is this true? Din beis avodas kochavim atzmo, that the house of worship of the avodah zara, of the idolatry itself, shu aser lanu, it is forbidden to us, kimat lir osa, almost to see it is forbidden to us, v'koshuken likones bo, and it goes without saying that one is not allowed to enter it. Okay, says the Rambam, listen, according to the strict law of law, we should ban you from living in a city in which there's avodah zara. Can't do that. Pragmatically, where there'd be no place where we would be allowed to live in our day and age. So what's next? Okay, we got to live in that city. But we can't go in to a house of Avodah Zarah. A house of Avodah Zarah is so disgusting that it's practically usher to look at it. It's just that it's unavoidable. You know, you drive down the Dan Ryan, you know, you can't avoid seeing. Whatever it is, the Kennedy, you can't avoid seeing so many churches. But it's almost, if we could avoid it and we could ban it, we would have banned even looking at a church. Now, I'm using the term church because we don't have that many Hindu or temples in Chicago, which is true Avodah Zarah. We will see later in the course of the evening, in fact, if Christianity is truly Avodah Zarah. Okay, let's turn the page. We see that the Rambam did, in fact, Shulchan Aruch codify this halacha. In Siman Kuf Mem Tesi, follow up here on the top. Ir she'osim bo yirid. In a city in which they're making a fair, b'yom chagom, on the day of the holiday of the Avodah Zarah, v'ovdei kochavim miskabtzim mikam mekomos, and the ovdei Avodah Zarah come there from several places, v'olchim shom l'kavod avodas kochavim, and go there for the glory of that idol or that idolatry or that pagan god, mutar leile chutzal, you're allowed to go outside the city. However, for usur likanes besocha, when it's not allowed to enter the city. And then he goes on to speak about what's going on. Then he goes on to speak about haisa chutzala, if the fair was outside the city at a fairgrounds, then mutar likanes besocha, you're allowed to go into the city. Okay? Now, this is like the Rambam, and this basically tells us when it's not allowed to enter a city which has avodah zarah. Of course, in our day and age, it's very difficult to avoid that. But besides that, we have a little bit of a good heter here. There are very few fairs which are made in honor of Avodah Zarah in our day and age. Right? There are a lot of heavy... A parade. Even at the parade, we'll see in a moment the heter for. But fairs, especially fairs, there's almost no retail business which is done for the purpose of Avodah Zarah in our day and age, except perhaps in Christian bookstores. But... that's not so. What's relevant to us, though, is also a very interesting halacha here in halacha base. And this is relevant to me every morning. Because I live across the street from a Christian Science church. And every morning, in order to get to Bnei Reuven, in order to say my Daf Yomi, I go through the church parking lot. And the shaila is whether that's permissible or not, right? Because we saw a city which has avodas kochavim pragmatically we're supposed to avoid. And we saw, pragmatically we can't avoid, so we're allowed to live in it. But we saw on the other hand, one is not allowed to enter Beis Avodah Zarah. One is not allowed to enter the building itself. That's what the Rambam writes. The Shaila is, what about the courtyard? The parking lot. Is one allowed to enter that? There's a broader question, in fact, which is also where it was relevant to me once. Are you allowed to go to a Catholic or, for that matter, any other Christian denomination university? You know, one summer I went to St. John's in New York. So they have in every room, you know, he's hanging over the blackboard. So you're allowed to use, obviously this is an arm, a division of the Catholic Church. Is one allowed to attend such a university? So, an interesting halacha here in the Ramah. The Ramah is here in Sif Beis, immediately following halacha. The Ramah says, Hagah, Chatzar shel avodas kochavim, a courtyard of avodas kochavim, yesh omrim, some say, the dinok ir shel avodas kochavim, that the halacha is like a city of avodas kochavim, and of course, in our day and age, we're mako concerning a city of avodas kochavim. And therefore, bizman she'ena ovdei kochavim iskabtzim shom l'tarpuson, as long as the avodas kochavim are not gathering specifically for the purpose of their worship, mutar l'ikanes bo, one is permitted to enter that courtyard. V'yeshomrim, and some people say, t'b'chol inyan osur, regardless, it's forbidden. Im ein derech over bo l'mokom acher, unless there is a way, a passage through that courtyard to some other place. Avol, because when kshederech over bo l'makom acher, when a highway or a passageway goes through that courtyard to some other place, l'kulei alma, everybody agrees mutter that one is allowed to walk through. V'chein aminok pashut, and that is the simple and widespread practice. Leilech derech oso chatzer, to go through the courtyards of the Avodah Zorah, l'makom acher, to other places. Nonetheless, what? There is no Indian of Yitzhara, no, that's right. It's not the Avodah Zorah itself. Right. Mikomakom, nonetheless, says the Ramah, midas chasidusu, it's an act of chasidus, of special degree of piety, lisrachik milelech bo, to go, to stay away from going through, im yesh lo derech acheres kotzer kamo, if you have a way which is just as short. So that's my heter. The shortest way, as the crow flies, to get from my house of Bnei Reuven is through the parking lot. Now, of course he says that that for any other reason, it's forbidden to enter into a courtyard, unless you have a passage through there, right? There are two opinions. The first opinion of the Ramah is somewhat more lenient. The Ramah is saying that it's like a city, and just like a city, if one has a need to go through, one can go through. I'm sorry. If one has a need to be there, one can be there, and that's why we're allowed to live in cities which have Avodah Zorah in our day and age. But the second opinion held that no, the only permission to go through the courtyard is only as a shortcut to get to the other side. For any other purpose, one is not allowed to go through a courtyard. So the question is, let's say that your polling place is in a church, right? You know, they make, you pass many, many churches on election day, and you see that the polling place is inside the church. It's not inside the chapel part of the church, perhaps, but it's inside the building. Is one permitted in that case to enter the building in order to vote? Important question. I'm sure it's relevant to many Jews, halacha l'maisa. So, I have to take two factors into account here, although I didn't see this discussed explicitly. But perhaps we can take A, the fact that one is allowed to go in as a shortcut through the Avodah Zorah tells us that when one has a crucial need to go in, one can go in to the Beis Avodah Zorah, not to the building itself, at least into a courtyard. Now, a courtyard doesn't necessarily yet give us access to go into the actual building, into a side room. But we have a very interesting halacha here at the end of the previous siman. And we rely on this to a great extent. If you take a look at the end of the previous siman on the back on the first column, in Sifyud Beis, we have a very interesting halacha. Yesh omrim, some say, she'ein kol dvarim elu amurim, all the statements which we've made about all the halachos of staying away from Avodah Zorah are not relevant ela ba'osos man, except at the time of the Talmud. Avo bizman azeh ben our day and age, ein abikim betiv elilim. The Goyim themselves don't know what they're worshiping anymore. You know, I had last week somebody is a person who's interested in being Mizgayer came to me, and she asked me, you know, a whole bunch of things about Judaism. And I asked her, listen, you grew up, you went to parochial school, she's a Roman Catholic. So you went to parochial school, so didn't they teach you your religion? Don't you find it to be something which works? So she said several reasons why she doesn't find it to be something which is valid. Among them, she said that in parochial school, they taught us almost nothing. They taught us no Old Testament and very little New Testament. And all they taught us in the New Testament was basically how we're supposed to emulate Yeshua and be like him and be a good person. So the Goyim Bizman said they don't really know what they believe anymore. They don't study what they believe, except for the priests. So then the laity is very much kept in the dark. So one could say that Bizman is a shame became betiv elilim. We don't know anymore what they're worshiping, what their religion is all about. Therefore, allowed to do business with them, even biyom chagam, even on Sundays, which is their holiday. Allow vosam and to lend and borrow money from them. V'chol shar dvoim and all sorts of other stuff. And we rely on this to a great extent. We say, they're not really of the Avodah Zarah. They don't know their religion anyway. They don't even think about their religion. They're out to have a good time. So therefore, we can do business with them. So it's possible that these two halachas, the halach of using the courtyard, which is an halacha base in Kuf Memtes, and the halacha that anyway they're not the real bona fide McCoy, combined together to allow us to use rooms and places which belong to a church, even though, I'm sorry, which belong to a church and perhaps are even in the same building, despite the fact that the church itself is a base Avodah Zarah. And the truth is, I've never heard of anybody who's machmir not to go to a Catholic university. The stipler in Eretz Yisrael was very much opposed to Catholic universities, but not because of the entry into the building so much as, in fact, he was afraid of the negative influence. And he was very upset that in Baltimore they were matir the kids to go to Loyola. But I never heard of anybody who's machmir per se not to go to a college. On the other hand, I don't know, I've never heard of anybody who's specifically matir to go to a polling place in order to vote on election day when that polling place is in a church. But I would assume that as long as it's not in the main sanctuary, so to speak, and we'll see the difference in a couple of minutes, one would be allowed to enter. Yeah. Same idea. Well, that might be Pikuach Nefesh. That's different. Catholic hospital might be different. Lamaiso, almost of a great many hospitals are Christian hospitals, and nobody's mocked me on that. I mean, we all use Lutheran General, and Lutheran General is has a nice big cross on the lighted, no less, on the roof. Yeah. Yeah. Church is what? Inside the building of a church? No good. Can't do that. Can't have that. That's not allowed to daven in a place which is disgusting, revolting. I have seen that. I'm sure you've seen it since you asked the question too. There's one in Washington Heights in New York. There's a building. Obviously, the Reformed Jews are down on their luck there, so they rent out place to a church. Yeah. What do you mean? In the church, in the building? No, that's what I'm saying. If you have a purpose to go into the church building, I don't know if it's usher. Yeah. Wouldn't be a difference. If it's a necessity for you to go, then it's a necessity for you to go. There's no necessity for you to vote either, but the point is it's something which is very important for you to do. It's a question important. You know, it's an old question. Let's say I know a Jew is selling something for $50, but a guy is selling for $40. Do I have to go buy it from the Jew? No, not mechuyev to spend more money. If I want, I can give it a tzedakah, but I'm not mechuyev to buy from the Jew. So the same thing here. If you know that there's a rummage sale in a church where you could save money, if you hold that it's mutter to go into a chotzer of a avodas kochavim, a courtyard of a goy, for purposes other than just the shortcut, then you can go into that courtyard as well. Then you can go in for the rummage sale as well. That's a separate issue. You're asking whether one is allowed to give money to a cat to a Christian charity, right? No, that's a separate issue altogether. Probably not. But that's not the same issue we're discussing. But again, I want to make this clear because it's not clear in my own mind, and therefore I'm sure I'm confusing you to a certain extent, that I'm not sure whether there is a heter to go to a polling place in a church. I'm saying that if it's a building which is owned by Goyim, it's clear that the minhag is to be mako, and I assume the minhag is to be mako is based on the fact, A, it's not really a church, right? It's just a building which belongs to Christians. And B, Christians bizman is there anyway, not considered to be true Christians, true of the Avodah Zarah in the classic sense of the word. But I'm not sure what the halacha is about a polling place within a church, because then it's actually within the building. And as we'll see in a few moments, within the building is more stringent than a separate building which is owned by the church. And although we saw that there's a heter to take a shortcut through the chatzer, through the courtyard, nonetheless we didn't see a heter to go through a courtyard and by extension into the building, into another room, for any other purpose. So therefore I'm not sure if it's mutter or aser. I will tell you where I saw that it's mutter. I saw in Rabbi Sholem's classes, Response of Modern Judaism, he allowed going into a church in order to vote. And you can take that at face value. Oh, you saw Rosh Hashanah voting in a gymnasium or church? A reliable one. Okay. So I guess that's the heterim he took into account. The chatzer avodas kochavim for a purpose. He didn't ask him, but you saw him go in. And he obviously knew that it was a church. It wasn't like, okay, fine. All right. Yeah. Yeah. What?
After your day,
yeah. Yeah. No, because he's going back to the Shulchan Aruch is codifying all the names of the Gemara. Listen, if you go to India and you have to deal with the Hindus, or you go to Tibet and you have to deal with the Buddhists, so all these halachas apply. We're talking about Christians. We're not talking about the Eastern religions. You go to Africa, these halachas might apply. When he says Bizman Azeh, when the Shulchan Aruch says Bizman Azeh, he means in our countries, in the Muslim countries, in the Christian countries. He's not talking about other countries. It doesn't necessarily mean Bizman Azeh in the entire globe. So these halachas are still relevant depending on where you live and who you have to deal with. Yeah. Yeah, the whole shot. It might be also to deal. There's no issue to deal. Let me get something straight, which we didn't see, which is not really relevant tonight, but it's important for us to know. There's no issue to do business with an Ovid Avodah Zarah. There's an issue to do business with an Ovid Avodah Zarah on his Yontif, on his Chaga. Because on his Chaga, after he goes and does business deals with you and makes some money, we're afraid that he'll go into his Avodah Zarah house and thank his God for having brought him this money. So in this fashion, you in essence caused Avodah Zarah to be worshipped. So we say in our day and age, we don't worry about that. We don't worry about doing business with Goyim, even on Sunday. You know what? Before I say that, let's say that. No, let's go down to the bottom here first. Let me cut you off for a second. Let me cut you down for a second. Cut you off. The halacha down here in the Rambam, in halacha dalin, Perek Tes halacha dalin, this halacha A was cut out of the censorship from many Rambams. B, even in the Rambams in which it appears, normally it doesn't use the proper phrase. It uses the phrase Knanim, which of course makes no sense because there are no Knanites in our day and age. But it's censorship. The Rambam says clearly Edomim. Edomim means the Romans, the Italians, the Christians. Of the Avodah Zarahim, they are idol worshippers. V'yom Rishon hu Yom Edom. And Sunday is their day of holiday, okay? And therefore he goes on to describe which days of the week you're not allowed to have business with them in Eretz Yisrael for special reasons, and in Chutz La'aretz you're not allowed to have business with them on Sundays. Shu'asar b'chol makom throughout the world. Why? Because they're afraid you do business with a guy on Sunday with a Christian. He's going to go to church and say thank you for having given me money from this Jew. So now, getting back to your question, yeah, it's going to depend where you go in the world. If you go in the world, I don't know when India what their holy day is. So let's say their holy day is Thursday. So on Thursdays, you wouldn't be able to transact business with them. Yeah, that's what it means. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that in our countries, the Christians are not Christians, and therefore it's okay to do business with them. But in any other country or any other situation where the Christians would be good Christians, one would be forbidden to engage in business with them on their special day. In Italy, you think they're better than in the United States. They're more religious.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a seat of their religion.
Could be. If you held, yeah, it could be that the. I mean, I don't know how deeply religious the Italians are any more than we are. than the goyim in the United States. But.
Therefore, it
might be different there. It could be it's different. Yeah, then the halacha would change there. Yeah. Now, so getting back against this, to the halacha of churches per se. If Christians are over the Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam says it's here, and in Hilchos Machlokes Asuros, why are they over the Avodah Zarah? Because they believe in the Trinity. Then one is not allowed to enter the churches. Clearly, I mean, just like we were saying till now, as an assumption, we see now validated halacha l'maisa that one is not allowed to enter into a church. But maybe you'll ask, okay, maybe that's true in Italy, maybe in the Vatican, where the Taka believe, let's say they believe what they're doing. But in the United States, where they're all phony anyway, so what's the big deal? So here, turn the page, it's a very interesting Reb Chaim Palagi. Chaim Palagi was a Sephardi posek, and you should know in this matter there's a very interesting dichotomy between the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim, because they live in the Christian countries, were more lenient. The Sephardim, because they didn't have to deal with Christians, they couldn't understand why be lenient with these Christians. They're clearly of the Avodah Zarah. So Chaim Palagi, though, writes a vort, which is true regardless of where you live. Very sharp vort he writes here. Here where I have the letter C. The Chaim Palagi writes, beginning where that bracket is, Hunishal Sham Gamkin, he was also asked, Al Odos Aknisa Knisol Beis Avodah Zarah Shalem, concerning entering a house of Avodah Zarah. Uvedivre Chuvoso, and in the words of his Chuva, Hirchiv Levar Chomer Yisrael, he expanded on how usher it is and how stringent it is, Sheyesh Bezeh, V'chein Shafil Chotzer Osuli Kones, and he was assert very, very stringent, not like the Ramah, he assert even to enter into the courtyard, Afilu Dabri Mechamem, even if you have to speak to one of them, Afilu Iskarabin, even if it's necessary for the masses, for the public to speak to them, Afilu Ein B'yom Eidom, and even if it's not on Sunday, Uvesovum Shol Dvorim. And at the end of what he wrote, Hosi V'kosav, he added and wrote like this, V'zel Shono, and this is what he wrote, V'al Yichol Libcha, don't yet let your heart seize you. Lomar to tell you, Dibisman is that in our day and age, Lake Avodah Zarah, there is no Avodah Zarah. Kid Kosva, Poskim Makami, like the Poskim wrote about several matters. Dizel Lagabe Hagoyim. That's in terms of the worshippers. The Ein Lodunim Laov de Avodah Zarah, that one cannot judge them as idol worshippers. Achain, however, based to Philosom. The churches themselves. Moka Muchan Lupuranus. The place which is prepared for their terrible things. The Makachin, where they have the incense, Vosim Avodosam, and they do their worship, Zechel Avodah Zarah, in commemoration of the true Avodah Zarah Shel Kadmonim, of the ancient years, Teinach Avodah Zarah, Eino Avodah Zarah Mamish. Maybe it's not the literal Avodah Zarah as it was in the ancient days. Nekod Mi Apalga, but nonetheless, you have to take this poor point. This had the Midei Srach Tumah, Vesitra Acholo Palat, that one cannot get away from the fact that it's a place of Tumah and a place of Yetzirah. And therefore it's forbidden even in our day and age. So in essence, he creates a dichotomy. He says, the worshippers, we can be lenient. We can assume that they're not the same worshippers they had in the old days. But the place itself, the church, remains forbidden regardless. And then he goes into the whole discussion of why especially a Jew shouldn't go into a church, because the Jewish neshama is particularly attractive to the Yetzirah. And it's like with the bees. You know, if you enter into a beehive, so they all start buzzing around you. So here, too, the tumah really sees a good victim and starts attacking this Jew. And then he says, if you were going into a church, you make a mistake and go to a church, you have to go to the mikveh, and you have to get malchus, you have to get flogged, and you have to give the clothes you wore away. You can't keep those clothes. He says it's a clearly very, very bad thing. So I heard once that... It's when Rav Herzog had to meet the Pope. I'm not sure in which year that was. So immediately after he met him, he had to shake the Pope's hand as the chief rabbi of the state of Israel. So he went to the mikveh. He said he felt the tumah. So the idea is that, of course, not only is it usur, but we believe that there is a concept of spiritual degradation and tumah, and therefore, if one is, in fact, forced, or it's necessary for one to enter a church, then one has to go immediately thereafter to a mikveh and shed all that tumah which one acquired. Now, he brings out also a very interesting thing. He says that when he was a youngster at Tzitz Eliezer, when they used to have to pass by a church, then the adults which were with them used to tell them, don't look at it, and run fast when you go past it, and say the pasuk, shaketz tchatz, senu v'taev t'davenu ki cherem hu. In other words, be disgusted and revolted by it. So he obviously says that that's not halacha, but it's a good minhag to know that this thing is disgusting and revolting, and to instill upon ourselves that this is tummy. What? You were taught to do that too. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, what? Spit, I guess it's also part of it. Yeah. 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 So I said the praise of the church building, that's right.
Also, if Hashem took away the
yeah. It's not temptation, it's tumah. Who said anything about temptation? One should be repulsed. One has to train oneself to be repulsed by it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, could be one is tempted too. You know, you see the majesty. If you enter into a cathedral and you see the, it's designed to give you that sense of majesty and splendor and grandeur. Could be it has a psychological impact on people. So that's also a good reason to stay away. Now, however, that's about churches. And we see that they're particularly machmir about churches. But mosques are an altogether different issue. Because Christians, they worship a trinity. Okay, they're of the Avodah Zarah. They worship Yashka, they worship him, they hold he's a god. That's Avodah Zarah. Everybody. Everybody except the Unitarians. The Unitarians are a very small group. No, they all believe in Trinity. Uh-uh. You missed our Wednesday night shiurim on Judaism and Christianity. EH 47 and 48. No, they all believe in the Trinity, except the Unitarians. Every last sect. They're not, the Catholics are much more public about it, but they all believe in it. Okay? So they're all of the Avodah Zarah. But mosques are very different because I looked up Encyclopedia Britannica today, and the Muslims are very, very firm on the point that there is only one God. And Muhammad was not a deity. He was only a prophet. That's it. He was the last of a long list of prophets, and he was a messenger sent by God. As a matter of fact, most of his prophecies, according to the Quran, were received from the Malach Gavriel. But he was never intended, nor is he ever worshipped in Islam as a god. So since he's not worshipped as a god, what's the status of a mosque? It's not a base of Avodah Zarah, right? They don't worship Avodah Zarah in a mosque. So is one allowed to enter a mosque? So here we have a very interesting machlokas. The Tzitz Eliezer says, no. He says, you're not allowed to enter a mosque. But the thing is, it's based on Iran. The Ran, of course, is one of our Rishonim. The late Rishon, but he's still a Rishon. But I don't understand this Ran. I have no idea what he's saying. Take a look here in D. We'll read it together. In the third line of that paragraph. V'lamadnu mikan. We learn from that Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is discussing Shakodoshim Shakutim, the holy objects of the Kutim, which I assume is also censorship, and it means the Christians. V'gam ha-meshuga shel Yishmaelim, and also the meshugana of the Arabs. Afo pishein toin achareim lasos and elohus, even though they don't make the mistake to make him a deity, ho'il mishtachavim lifneim, since they bow down in front of them, hishtachavo shel elohus, a bow of divinity, din avodas elilim yesh lohem to have a loch of avodazora l'chol dover isra avodas elilim for all matters of isra avodazora shelo b'hidur levad, not just as a sign of respect. Hey, mishtachin lefneim, do the Arabs bow down to Mohammed? Shein hidur lemesim, you don't respect dead people. Ella rather ki inyan avoda shalalohu su avodasan, but rather their worship is a worship of avodah zarah. In other words, what he's saying is, even though the Muslims say and concede that Muhammad was not a god, but they bow down to Muhammad, and since they bow down to Muhammad, so therefore, by definition, their bowing is an act of worship. Because you don't bow down to dead people unless you believe that they have some form of divinity. That's what the Ran is saying, right? What? I can't explain. No, it doesn't work the other way, though. No, he lived in a Christian country. The Ran lived in Spain when it was Christian. This is the Ran, yeah. No, this is the Ran. Sitel is quoting the Ran. This is the Ran, right.
The one before
is Reb Chaim Palagi, right. But this is the Ran. So the Ran, so the thing is like this. I asked, when the Muslims bow down they bow down the 5 days of the day, face Mecca. They don't say anything about Muhammad being God. They say God is God, or God is the only God, and Muhammad is the prophet. They explicitly say that he's a prophet and not a deity. So I don't know what the Ran means. The Ran is saying that it's Avodah Zarah, and according to the Ran, one would not be allowed to do business with an Arab on Friday, right? Because that's Yom Eidam. That's their day, that's their special day. And one would not be allowed to enter a mosque. And that's what the Tzitz Eliezer's conclusion is. But the thing is, it's difficult to understand what the Ran's referring to, because that's not what the Arabs do. And in fact, it's an amazing Rambam. If you turn the page, you'll find an amazing Rambam. The Rambam says, he wrote a letter to, I believe it was Yemen, if I recall correctly, where there was a big vendetta against the Jews of the country. And he was writing about, obviously, this vendetta in Hebrew is called a shmat. He was writing this igeres called the igeres or shmat. And there he writes what the parameters of Kiddush Hashem are, when you have to give your life on Kiddush Hashem. And the Rambam says here that you are allowed to accept upon yourself the Muslim religion verbally and not give yourself over to be killed. There is no din of Yehorig Val Yavor on accepting Islam. It says, to do an act which denies the Torah is forbidden. But to verbalize a belief in Islam is not forbidden. It says, somebody who refuses to do it and is willing to die al Kiddush Hashem is a holy person. But according to the strict letter of the law, one is allowed to accept Islam. Now, one would not be allowed to accept Christianity. Accepting Christianity is Avodah Zarah. By definition, accepting Christianity implies accepting that Yashka is a god. But in Islam, since you're not accepting any other deity, you still remain that God is God. So therefore, the Rambam says, if they're coercing you to do it, you're allowed to do it. That's what the Rambam says here, and this lashon is, somebody comes to ask us where they should be killed or say that he's accepting Islam. We say you can accept it and not be killed. Nonetheless, he shouldn't stay in the kingdom, but rather should stay in his house and not go out in public until he gets out of the country. So, it's an amazing thing. Clearly, the Rambam held that Islam is not a Avodah Zarah. And not only the Rambam, but we see many generations later, the Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai is to Sephardim what the Mishnah Berurah is to Ashkenazim. And the Midrash Ben Ish Chai writes here, if you take a look at the bottom, it's a quote from the Ben Ish Chai in Chof Tess here. This is from a Sefer called Makor Chaim, written by the Sephardi Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, Rabbi Chaim David Alevi. And he writes here in Chof Tess, Lo Asru Chazal Stam Yenom. Chazal didn't ban Stam Yenom wine which Goyim came into contact with, Umagam B'yayim Shalonu, and when the wine which they touched, Gam Bana, in deriving benefit, Elarak B'goyim Aov De'Avodah Zarah, only by Goyim who are worshippers of Avodah Zarah. In other words, if you have a guy who truly worships Avodah Zarah, and he touches your wine, even if you don't see him libating it for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, you not only are not allowed to drink that wine, you're not allowed to sell it. You have to suffer complete and total loss on it. Why? Because we're afraid maybe he had thoughts of Avodah Zarah when he touched the wine, and therefore it becomes Osir Behanoi. You're not allowed to derive any benefit from it whatsoever. Avogoyim Shein Ovdim Avodah Zarah, but Goyim who don't worship Avodah Zarah, Kigona Ishmaelim, like the Arabs, She'ein Lem Psilim, who don't have idols of Avodah Zarah and foreign gods, Ain't Stam Yenom Umagom, when they touch wine, B'yayin Shalonu, our wine, Osir Behanoi, it's not Osir to derive benefit from. You could sell it. El Rak Osir B'Shtiyah Bavad, it's only Osir to drink. V'lochein, and therefore, Im Goy Yishmoel, if an Arab, Noga B'yayin Shalonu touches our wine, Ain't Osir Behanoi, it doesn't forbid it in drinking, El Rak in selling, El Rak B'Shtiyah, only to drink it's forbidden. Mipnei, why? Shayishmoelim, the Arabs, Modim B'yichud, can see that there's only one God. Veinlo and Pesel, and they have no idols, Lomini Avodah Zarah, no type of foreign gods, klal at all. V'chemef worship b'chulas Rambam, that's explicit in the Rambam. Avol says the Ben Ish Chai, Osam Agoyim Shadarkom Lisa Shtiva Erbi Bigdeyem, those goyim who carry a cross on their garments, Yeshlem Gamkin Shtiva Erbi Veis Filosim Shemishtachavilo, you should know they also have crosses. You know, the Ben Ish Chai lived in Baghdad. I don't know if anybody there saw a church. So it's explained to them. You should know that if you see a guy who has a cross on his garments, also in his church, he has a cross, and and they bow down to this cross. Therefore, wine which they touch, also is forbidden, also to derive benefit from. They don't unify God properly. They join together, they have a trinity. And the unity which they have in saying that the Trinity is really one, Yesh Bo Dofi, is not correct, Kayadua, as is well known. So, by the way, what do we rely on? We hold that our wine, which is touched by a guy, is not also to derive benefit from. You can't sell it, you can't give it to a guy to drink. Why? Because we rely on Kuf Mem Ches Yutes. We rely on the fact that our worshippers in our countries, they don't really worship Avodah Zarah. They don't really know what they believe in. But the Ben Ish Chai went very strictly with the letter of the law, and he said there's a basic dichotomy between Muslims and Christians. Christians are of the Avodah Zarah, and Muslims are not. What? It's also to drink, but it's not also to sell. Right? Yeah. And therefore, but based on this, if you take a look in this Ben Ish Chai, in we'll take a look further in the Reb Chaim David Alevi's book here. He goes on the facing page, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, to describe what a severe issur it is to go into a church. And how it's a terrible thing, one has to avoid it at all costs. And then he goes on to say, if you turn to page 5, he says at the top of the page 5, Upashut, it's clear, She'ein issur zeh chal, this issur does not take effect, Klal at all the car to begin with, Amitzgadei Ishmaelim, on the mosques of the Arabs. She'einem of the Avodah Zarah, Klal. They're not worshippers of Avodah Zarah at all. In other words, according to the Rabbi Chaim David Alevi, one is allowed to enter a mosque. It's not a house of Avodah Zarah. What? It's a danger, right? No, Nafkin would be a place like, I don't know, the Baha'i Temple here in Evanston, right? I think the Baha'is are former Muslims, right? So, or they're Muslims, aren't they? Yeah, Baha'is, I think, are Muslims. They're not part of... No? Are you sure? Aren't they former Muslims? So yeah, but that's no riot. The Muslims kill each other. That's no riot. The Muslims kill each other all the time. Really? I don't know. There's a famous Baha'i temple in Haifa, right? So, in any event, or what? Only three or four more. So in any event, the Nafkamina would be, of course, if you had a mosque which wasn't Sakharis the Farsas to enter, whether one would be allowed to enter the mosque. And this is an open question. You know, there's no resolution. This is too recent for there to be any consensus of opinion. It remains an open question. It remains in a machlokas. But I want to, before we end up, yeah. By the way, want to just point out one more thing before I go. Want to mention one more thing before we go on to the next topic, that a church can be desecrated. It can lose its status as a church, but only when a goy desecrates the church. And avodah zarah, which is made by a goy, loses its status of avodah zarah if a goy desecrates it. In other words, let's say a building was once a church, but they made it into a gymnasium. So in that case, you're allowed to use the gym because they themselves desecrated it. But it's you can't. It has to be that they made a conscious decision no longer to use this building as a church. At that point, it loses its status as a church, and then one can enter it. Multiple purpose room is a problem. You can't use a chapel like a multi-denominational chapel.
I thought you were talking about
like in an airport. Yeah.
Where they move in seats and it becomes a church on Sunday.
Yeah, so that would be a question. It depends what the primary use is. If it's really gymnasium, it's just they use it for services, then you can go in there. If it's a place to use for services, which is occasionally used as a gymnasium, then you can't use it for that. Then you can't go in there. Yeah. Chapels and airports, you can't daven in. Even if you're allowed to enter them, but they are a place which is used for avodah zarah, and you cannot daven in them. Okay? I want to draw that distinction very clearly. You can enter them because they're not churches. They're just rooms for meditation. But you cannot daven in there, because just like you're not allowed to daven near excrement, you're not allowed to daven near a place which is used for avodah zarah. And this is a place which is used for avodah zarah. And even though it is not forbidden to enter because it's not a church, since it's used for avodah zarah, one can't daven in those places. A funeral chapel? I don't think it's not a place which is designated for services. The place is designated for funerals. But I don't know. Do they daven in funeral chapels? They say psukim. I don't know if they actually daven there. It's not the same type of thing. Okay? All these things are gray areas. They're not on the books, but this is the conclusion one has to reach. The final thing I want to talk about a little bit is, it's kind of off on a tangent, but it's a very interesting discussion, is what exactly the parameters of shituf are. Now, I've been mentioning that Christians are considered to be over the avodah zarah because they believe in a trinity. What exactly is the halacha of shituf of somebody who believes in more than one God in halacha, in terms of their perspective? In other words, are Christians allowed to believe in the Trinity? We're not allowed to. That's clear. For us, it's avodah zarah. If you believe that a man became a God, we will put you to death. But if somebody's a Christian, is that Christian allowed to believe in the Trinity? From their perspective, is the Isra avodah zarah more stringent on a Jew than on a goy? Now, we have very, very conflicting opinions on this. The Gemara tells us, and yeah, I photocopied the conversation here on the bottom of Rav Avadia Yosef's Tshuva, in which he forbids entering a church, and you can follow along inside if you want. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel Beis says that one is not allowed to require a goy to take an oath if you know that the goy in his oath will use the name of an avodah zarah. You're not allowed to cause, it's a pasuk in Torah, v'shem Elohim achirim lo yishama apicha. Not only are you not allowed to mention a foreign god's name, you're also not allowed to cause a foreign god's name to be mentioned. Therefore, you cannot require a goy to take an oath of avodah zarah. But the problem is, when Rabbeinu Tam came along, one of the Baalei Tosfos, in his day and age, you know, it was necessary to get goyim to take oaths because he was living in a country where he made his living being a moneylender. And he had to very often extract oaths. And the problem was the goyim would mention, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in the oath. So the question which arose in the time of Rabbeinu Tam was, is he allowed to require an oath when he knows that the goy is going to make a shvuah in which includes both God and another God, Yeshu? That was the shiloh which arose in his time. So the Rabbeinu Tam says it's mutter. Rabbeinu Tam says there's no iser of shituf for a goy. What does that mean, that there is no iser of shituf for a goy? The Rama brings it down la'alach in Arachayim Simakuf Nun Vav. The Noda Behuda says all it means is that a goy is not forbidden to take an oath in which he mentions God together with a foreign God. That's not osur for a goy. But a goy is forbidden to believe in two gods at the same time. That's Noda Behuda's approach. And Noda Behuda writes that the in his Truvas. Other poskim, however, including the Moruk Tzia, that's Rabbi Yaakov and the Pesachei Truva, says that that's clearly not the pshat in the Ramah and in the Tosfos, but rather that a goy is not mechuyev, is allowed to believe in more than one God at a time. So it's a question here. The Noda Behuda learns that shituf, the permissibility of shituf, just is limited to the fact that a goy can take an oath both in the name of God and in the name of his own God, in the name of Avodah Zarah. The Moruk Tzia, however, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the others hold that not only that, a goy is allowed to believe in more than one God. A goy can believe in as many gods as he wants, as long as one of them is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, these are all achronim. But there's an amazing ritva, which none of them saw because it was censored out of the ritvas. And if you take a look here at the bottom of page 5, in the right-hand column, 11 lines from the bottom of the page, he brings down from the Sholem Meshiv, who brings down a ritva. And the Ritva says, now I'm on the 10th line from the bottom, She'achav, everybody remember who Achav was? Who was Achav? A king, King of Israel, one of the evil ones. What? Right, Otzachta V'gami Rashta. So Achav, one of the evil kings, Shoya Mamin B'Hashem V'Toraso, believed in God and believed in Torah. U'v'chozos, nonetheless, Nimshach, he was drawn, Achar Nevi HaBaal, after the prophets of Baal, right, a foreign god, lavod b'shituf, to worship not just God, but also Baal as well. Because of Otshama, and therefore the right Ritva writes, Shalachain, that therefore Shtei Dibros HaRishonos, the first two Dibros, Anochi v'lo yelecha, Mipiak v'rishmonim, we heard them directly from God. Kidei lazhiroson, in order to warn us, ala yichud ha-gaber, that we should be completely unified, b'shevemunas Hashem, and, well, unified is not the right word. We should believe in the complete and utter unity of God as being only one, not divisible and not more than one. V'shalo kibnei Noach, not like the goyim, shlo huzeru ala shituf, who weren't warned against shituf. Shituf literally, by the way, I should have really translated. Shituf literally means partnership. So he says clearly, the Ritva is saying clearly, that the permissibility of shituf for goyim is not just limited to the fact that they can take an oath on both God and a foreign God at the same time, but rather that goyim are allowed to worship two gods at the same time. So where does this come from? Lichor, it doesn't make any sense. If there's only one God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what right do goyim have to worship more than one God? Why should they have things better than we do? It's an amazing pasuk in Chumash. Pasuk Chumash is in Dvarim, Perek Dalel Pasuk Yutzes. Pasuk there says, I'm sure you've all stopped to think of it when you've gotten this pasuk before because it's very strange, but I don't know if you ever gave it this spin. The Gemara in Dvarim Dalel Yutzes says, the Gemara, Chumash in Dvarim Dalel Yutzes says, make sure not to worship Avodah Zarah. lest you uplift your eyes to the heavens. And you'll see the sun and the moon, and the stars, all the hosts of heaven. And you'll be pushed. And you'll bow down to them. And you worship them. Now here comes the punchline. Asher cholak Hashem Elokecha osam, those constellations, etc., which God divided, l'chola amin tachas kol ha-shamayim, to all the nations under all the heavens. What does the end of the pasuk mean? What does it mean, God divided them to all the nations under all the heavens? So Rashi says there that they were divided to all the nations under the heavens in order to lead the goyim astray. Or the goyim should be led astray, and they should be done away with, disposed with afterwards. But there's a very long Ksava Kabbalah. Ksava Kabbalah was a very well-known Torah commentator in the, I believe, mid-19th century. And he writes a great deal on this pasuk. And I photocopied the whole thing, and I'm not, of course, there's no time left to go through the whole thing. But I just want to read a little bit with you inside on page 6. In the second column on the top, where I have the long line, he brings down the whole discussion about whether there is an Isser of Shituf HaGoyim, whether there is no Isser of Shituf HaGoyim, and then he says, Kil Yisrael Shotziyam Hashem Yitzbarach Mimitzrayim, for the Jewish nation that God took out of Egypt, V'asa Lohem Aniflos, and did for them the wonders, V'lokach Osam La'am Nahlo, and took them for La'am Nahlo, and took them to be a unique nation of his portion, She'enum Omdin Tachat Tzvay Morom, we're not under the jurisdiction of astrology, Aleim Gozar Hu Yitzbarach, on us God decreed, Shelo la'avod zulaso, not to worship any other god, af avodas hashituf, even in partnership, aval l'shar amim, but to other nations, ha'omni tachas memshel tzvay moram, were indeed under the government of not just astrology, but you all know that who did Yaakov fight with? Who did Yaakov fight with? Sar shel Esav, and angels in charge of Esav, and we say that all non-Jewish nations are manipulated and controlled by spiritual forces. Only Am Yisrael is manipulated and controlled only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So all of them, in fact, are permitted to worship B'Shituf, because they, in fact, have Omdim Tachat Memshel Tzva Shemayim. They're underneath the government of the heavenly host. So therefore, imodim heim b'mtziyus hakel, if they just admit the existence of God, v'chotu hakol, in his supreme authority, v'im kozeh, and despite this, ovdim gam l'nimtza zulaso, they worship someone else who they hold exists besides him, l'sarei mala, to the heavenly host, v'chadoma, etc., umodim, as long as they can see, shagam ha'nimtza hu kofu tachas, is subjugated under Yad Elyon, the hand of God, ein b'mishpat haseichel, there is no logic, hachra, to decree l'asra aleim, to ban it for them. Kem sh'ein datom lo tziyas ha'atzma mir shuso sh'adon ha'adonim baruch hu, since their intent is not to remove themselves from connection to God, rak medamim, they just make the mistake, shizel kvodo shel El Elyon, that this is the glory of our great God, l'shabech u'lefa'er, to give praise, and to give glory at some shamshil fun of those who served before him. Va'avodas ha-shituf b'dor derech zeh, and he says that the worship in shituf, in partnership in this matter, was the mistake of the door of Enosh. The mistake in the generation of Enosh, anybody remember the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, says the first Avodah Zarah was in the generation of Enosh, when they started saying, well, we won't just worship God, we'll also worship the intermediaries, the sun, the moon, and the stars. But he says the Rambam's language there is not that that is the Avodah Zarah, but rather this was the beginning of Avodah Zarah, which indicates to the Ksava Kabbalah that for them, they were Goyim, this wasn't forbidden. It just led them astray that later on they forgot that there was a supreme God, and they started focusing solely on the intermediaries, and that was the problem. Excuse me? I'm Shamshi. Yeah, Right. Well, so then he goes on and says, he says later on, let me just see where I can find it. You have to skim down the page. I'm not. It's hard to find. But in the middle of a line, about 15 lines down, no, more than that, about 20 lines down from there, he has a period, and then uktas ukitzas muchim lezeh. You see that? And he says, I have a little bit of proof for this. Mi de chazinon, because how do we know the hard to mushemushoim bnei noach avodas or kochovim mazalos that goyim are forbidden to worship avodah zarah afla achar matan Torah, even after matan Torah? Who made the east name Avodas Kochavim b'Sinai? It's because Avodas Zarah was banned again at Sinai. The Ashkechan to Anash ben Noach Ilave, and we found the Goyim are punished for this. Shema Amino Lezel Lezel Namra must be that it was Usser for both. So you have a general principle: any Isser, which is only stated once in Torah, no matter where it was stated, before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, is only Usser for Jews, not for Goyim. And Israel, which is stated twice, both before the Torah was given and at the time the Torah was given, is also not just for Jews, but also for Goyim. Okay? So we know that Avodah Zarah was banned in the beginning of the Torah, and the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and the seven negative commandments. And it's banned also subsequently at Matan Torah. So that's why it's also for Goyim. But the catch is like this. How do we know that a Goy gets death for worshipping Avodah Zarah? Because it says, and I'm skipping down two lines, in Dvarim Yudches, Lo Yimati B'chol Mavir B'no Vito Ba'esh. Do not bring, you know, this is called the Molech. What they used to do is they used to take their children, and they used to, sometimes they used to put them in hands which were heated up, very, very hot, and singe their children to death. Sometimes they wouldn't do even that. What they would do is they would take two lines of fire and walk the children between the fire. And that they would leave the children alive. But that was a special avoda to the god of fire called Molech. And the Torah says, don't do that. You know why don't do that? Because they did these horrible things, I destroyed the Knanim which came before you. Says the Gemara, says the Ksav Kabbalah, skipping down again two lines. Yinei midlo gali rachmona d'yanshu. Since the Torah didn't reveal they were punished, rak ba'avodas ha'molech. This Torah says, why are they destroyed? Because of the worship of Molech. Shu Elio Mamish. Because they worship Molech, which denied the existence of a true God. V'lo gilsa the inchu b'avodah shituf. Why didn't the Torah reveal that they were punished because they worshipped intermediaries as well as HaKadosh Baruch Hu? B'gavn l'mishpoyed b'krod ilon, in the fashion which our pasuk speaks about, b'tzva shamayim shen l'chvod yisbarach, that they worshipped the intermediaries. It must be that they're only forbidden in worship which is similar to Molech, in which they replace God with another God. But our pasuk seems to indicate quite clearly that even after Matan Torah, that they can worship their gods as long as they worship our gods together with their gods. Not as long as they don't replace, just add, it's permissible. That's what we say, because the emphasis is on Molech as having caused their eradication, as opposed to their worshipping the sun, the stars, and the moon, which is mutter for goyim. One final point, I put it on the last page because I didn't have any other place to put it, but it says in explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch that mishen yischayev misa mutter livroch lebeis avodah zarah lehatzil atzmo. If you're in a state of pikuach nefesh, because they're running after you to kill you, or, as it happened many times in the medieval times, if they didn't go to the church for the disputations, they'd be killed. So in that, those cases, even though it might not be direct pikuach nefesh at the moment, but since there were danger of losing one's life, one is allowed to enter a church and of course a mosque or any other avodah zarah room for that purpose in order to save one's life. It's not one of the yisurim avodah zarah for which the isser of yiharik v'al yavor applies.